I'd like to first of all say good morning. It is certainly good to be back here at Friendship Church. Certainly thankful to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Certainly good to see that the Lord has kept you all safe this week. And I trust that we've had a good weekend. I know still around New Year's time, people get together with their families, and so I hope you all have had a good weekend, a good start to the new year, I hope. But I'm certainly looking forward to this morning's service and what the good Lord has in store for us and what he has in store for us all year round. I'm certainly looking forward to it. certainly enjoyed the good singing and good piano playing and good bass playing, my brother Danny, and I've enjoyed the song selections that was chosen today, and I especially enjoyed the last song. I believe brother Danny requested it. I'm standing on the solid rock. The start of the second verse, it says, even though he's God now, I don't feel alone. You know, I'm sure it must have been a sad time when Jesus told his disciples that I must go. But he said, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll give you a comforter, and that is, I believe, is the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful today that we still have that comforter. I'm so thankful that sometimes be driving down the road and that comforter will come along. And just feels like you're wrapped in his arms and gives you the sweetest peace ever. I'm thankful for the relationship that we're able to have with God the Father. This morning, before we go any further in the Lord's service, we do need to go to him in a word of prayer. And as one of the songs says, have a little talk with him. Be prayerful for the service that the Lord will continue to bless us and be with us. Be prayerful for us as if it be his will that we might stand. But above all, let us be prayerful for those that are lost and separated from God. I wonder at this time if there might be a prayer request upon anybody's hearts or a word of praise or anything that needs to be said or done this morning. Before we get into what the Lord has laid on our hearts this morning, does anybody have anything on their hearts that needs to be said or done?
I've got a song I need to say. You know, I'm so thankful that I had the peace down in my heart, dear folks.
It's so good to have that peace. Does anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning before we go any further? If not, we'll get into it what the Lord has laid upon our hearts for this morning. You know, as there are several thoughts that the Lord has placed upon our hearts, but I tell you, this morning in Sunday school, there was something that was said that I feel the need that we might need to go and talk about for just a little bit. You know, Sister Marilyn, during prayer requests, she asked and was talking about having a burden for the lost. And I don't know why that struck a chord with me, but it did.
And I'm thankful that there's still church members who's willing to ask the Lord for a burden, because we need that. If we want to see lost souls move and get saved, we're going to have a burden for them. You know, I remember growing up, people were not ashamed, I guess, to call a lost individual out. And I know that that's probably not correct in 2021 or 2020. I still get confused what we're in. But you know, it might not be correct. But you know, that's okay, because it shows that they cared about me. I remember there was church members there at Pleasant Grove. They stood up, they said, "I feel like we need to pray for Micah because he needs to be saved." And you know, as a 7-year-old boy, that embarrassed me. But I was glad that they done that, because they cared about my spiritual being, about where I was going after this life. And folks, today we need to care where people are going. We need to care about their soul salvation. And we need to show that we care. You know, I remember it wasn't nothing growing up how the Lord would speak on some sister's heart or brother's heart to go up to a little boy or a little girl or somebody that they knew was lost and ask if everything was okay, or ask if they felt the need to pray, or just told them about what the Lord done for them. They cared, and they moved with that caring heart because they had a burden for those souls to be saved. And I believe that Paul, in the book of Romans, he had that same exact burden. If you go into the 10th chapter there of the book of Romans, we'll read in that starting of the chapter that Paul had some concerns about the people, I believe, that he personally knew, that I believe that he personally liked and personally had caring feelings for them. He said to the church at Rome there in the 10th chapter in that first verse, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He said, that is my heart's sole desire, that they just might be saved. Now, I want us to notice this. You look at that word desire. Paul didn't put an S at the end of that. It was his only desire that they would be saved by the grace of God. And if anything else had happened, I believe to the Apostle Paul, the thing that he cared about most was that they would be saved by the grace of God. And folks, we need to have that same care and desire in our hearts. And if we don't, then folks, we need to get down on our bended knees and ask God for that burden, for that care, for that desire. Because the only thing, you know, it don't matter how big your house is or how fancy your car is. You know, Jesus said, what profits a man if he gains this whole world but loses his soul? What does it profit? Absolutely nothing. I'm not saying to not have this goodness of life. If you have the money for it, can provide it, then go on and do it. But you know what? The cares of life, it isn't everything. And we need to stop acting like it is everything, because it's not. What is everything and what is important is if people know the salvation of God. And if people know And I'm not saying if people know about God, but if people truly know God, there is a big difference. You know, I was growing up in church, I knew about Jesus. I knew about salvation, but I didn't know it myself until one day the Lord convicted me and He said, there is something different about you and all these other people that you're gathered with. There is something different between you and me that so-and-so does not There's something different. And I believe that salvation is a very personal experience with the Heavenly Father Himself. And I'm glad it's that way. Oh, I'm so glad it's that way. You know, there's a sticker on the back of my car that I have, my white Kia Optima. It says... It's not a religion. It's a relationship. And it is. This ain't something that we just go and do just for fun or come and do just to be seen of man. But it is something that is really important. And I believe that it's really important to God. Because in the book of Ezekiel, God even said that I take no pleasure in a man that dies in his sin. Takes no pleasure in that. I believe God wants everybody to be saved. And if He didn't, then He wouldn't have sent His only begotten Son. That whosoever will shall not perish but have everlasting life. I believe it's the soul importance. And that's the heart of the matter. We need to have this burden, have this desire to serve God and to see people saved. You know, in 1881, when there was a preacher down there in Westmoreland, Tennessee, he had a burden. God put a burden in his heart to go to the Pleasant Grove community and to start preaching and do a mission work and to have tent revivals. And eventually, later in 1881, it became known and constituted as Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church. And through the influence of that church, not through the church, but through the influence of the people who had a burden and had a desire to serve God and nobody else, that had a desire to see lost souls saved, I was able to bow down on the altar and get saved by the grace of God. Through that influence. And folks, I tell you, if the Lord has placed something on your heart for this morning, you know, praise the Lord that Brother Mark sung that song. It's so peaceful. It really is. And my heart's desire is that those that are lost will know how peaceful that is. But we read that Paul said, he said, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." You know, the Israelites there, the people there, they understood the laws of God. And that's what Paul was getting at. They understood the laws of God. They really studied the depths of the laws of God, but they did not know God by their personal knowledge. Personal experience, and that being salvation. He said, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And we see people today who have no understanding about who God truly is. And they try to go about and form some kind of religion, some kind of teaching. And it's not true. It's not according to the Word of God. And folks, I will say this, everything that we do or say here at Friendship Church needs to be backed up by nothing else but the Word of God. And that is the heart of the matter. That is what is important. We all have opinions. Brother Scott said this morning, we all have opinions. But you know, the one thing that my opinion does not need to come into is when it comes to God's work of salvation. And I've told previous church I pastored, and I'm going to tell this church too, if it ever comes to a point that I preach my opinions instead of the Word of God, then have the right to kick me out. Because opinions should not be what we base every single thing of what the church stands on off of. It is the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Now, if we go into the second letter of Timothy, we read here in the fourth chapter that Paul was talking to the young preacher about a great falling away. And we see this today, how people, he's told them in the fourth chapter, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And we see that today in our society, do we not? People, teachers having itching ears, wanting to tickle the ears of the people that come in. Because it just allows them to have a bigger congregation or maybe a bigger sanctuary. And folks, I tell you this, it does not matter the number that comes into the church house. What matters is if the Spirit of the Lord meets with us or not. What matters is if God is just pleased with His people. What matters is if the people of God have that true desire to see people saved. But he said, for the time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine. I've been taught my whole life that there will be this great falling away that happens, even amongst God's people, even amongst the church itself. And I believe that we see that in today's time. How if something just hurts feelings or steps on toes, oh, now, brother, I just don't feel like coming back. But I tell you this, if you leave church because of what man said, then you weren't serving God, you was actually serving man. And I believe this today, that we are not called to please man, but we are called to please God the Father, because we are His servants. And I tell you what happened to me November the 12th, 2006, as that seven-year-old boy, how He reached down from heaven and saved my soul and washed my sin all away. I am forever indebted to be His servant. I am forever indebted to be in His service. I'm forever longing to serve my Lord. Because what happened to me that day is what I want everybody to have. And I believe in the book of Galatians that Paul was talking about the fruits of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit, and that is peace, love, joy. It was the first three things. And I experienced those three things the second the Lord saved my soul. I was so overjoyed that I couldn't wait to call my other family members and tell them what happened. I was so overjoyed that Monday whenever I went back to school, a little buddy of mine that I had at the time, Eric, I could not wait to tell him what happened. Because it was important. It was everything that had happened, all the sin that I carried, especially that seven-year-old boy. I didn't even really know what sin was, but I tell you what, I'm glad that God still washed it all away. I'm glad that God let me know. He let me know personally that I was saved by His marvelous grace. Personal, one-on-one experience with God the Father. And we read in the book of Matthew, and I tell you now, I've told the church this numerous of times, I'll tell you this again, this mourner's bench has no saving virtue power in it. And we should not stress that it does, because it does not. Now, it is a good place to start seeking after the Lord, but I'll tell you this, you can get saved in the very seat that you're sitting in. You can get saved in the front porch of the church. I know of some people, they got saved underneath the sycamore tree. Some got saved in the very back of porta potties that the church had at the time. Because what mattered is the altar that they made within their own heart. And you know what? The book of Matthew, Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount. He was preaching to his disciples, and he was teaching them about prayer. And you know what he said in that prayer? He said, when you go to thy closet to talk to your Father, and when thou hast shut the door, get it personally, one-on-one with God and you. When you have shut the door where it seems like nothing else in this world matters, that's where you need to be at. It's getting it right down and personal where it seems like not everything that's going on in the world, the football games, the sports, what's going on in television, it should not matter. And getting it to that spot. And the same goes for the children of God who have been saved. Sometimes we need to get in our closets. Sometimes we need to shut the door when we enter in and try to talk with God. Because sometimes this worldliness, it just gets in the way of trying to serve God, does it not? It gets in our mind, gets in our heart, and eventually, before you know it, you've not talked to God at all. And sometimes that breaks my heart. You know, I feel like the strength that we have as God's people, number one, it comes from talking to God Himself. You know, I believe, you know, we read, I believe it was the book of Kings, maybe the first Kings, but you know, we read about David and his victories. And there was one battle that he had where he saw the Philistine people or Babylonian people. He was up on a hill and he saw them coming. And the Bible said that he inquired of God. You know, before he done anything specific, he checked in with the commander-in-chief and asked him, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord said, well, you wait underneath this mulberry tree. And whenever you hear the sound of the thistle, branches, then that will be your time to go out. And another time, he asked, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord said, well, you just go on down there and you fight them. Whether it be to just go on or whether it be to wait, folks, we need to make sure that it is of God and not of our own selves. You know, when a lost soul gets on the altar, I believe that we need to be praying around them. I really do. There's a song that says to build up a wall of prayer, and I believe in strongly doing that. But unless the Lord has put it on your heart to talk to the one that is bowing, do not disturb them. Do not disturb them. Because this is important. This is vital. And we don't want to do anything that will hinder them. I was a member at a church one time, and we went into a revival service, and there just so happened to be two little girls praying on the altar. They were seeking. I guess I'll tell you what, we was up past midnight because they were just seeking. Well, the mother came up with two little children. And she bowed down and she said, honey, you can pray tomorrow night because I got to go into work. You know how badly that broke my heart. And that tore me up.
Single act that we do is because the Lord told us to, and not of our own conscience, not of what we want to do. It's good to have that desire. It's good to have that zeal. It's good to have that burden. But folks, most of all, it is good to have an understanding that if I do this or if I do that, it will hinder them. It is good to have that understanding. It is good to know. You know, I believe today, folks, that we live in a world that is just full of sin, and Satan tries his very hardest to hinder those, not just that are lost, but to hinder those that are saved and trying to serve God out of the fullness of their hearts. And we need to be praying for one another. It's important to have a desire, to have a burden. Number one, we should have a burden for those that are lost. Number two, we need to have a burden for the church. You know, the future of the church is very, very important. And what happens in the future of the church relies on the present members. I want this church to be here for another 20 years if the Lord allows time to live. I want the church to be here for another 40 years. Matter of fact, we read in the Bible that when Jesus comes back to the earth and gathers his people, we read that he will find just a few of his people, just a ransom. But I tell you what, he will find his church somewhere serving him. And I believe today, the Bible doesn't say that he'll find it in the United States of America. The Bible doesn't say he'll find it in Africa. It doesn't say that he'll find it in Tennessee. But I believe this, he can find it here in Columbus, Indiana, if we had that desire. If we have that work ethic. It's up to us whether or not the church stays here. And I know that some of you are probably thinking, man, what are you talking about, brother? Church seems to be like it. It's in a good, healthy state. But I tell you what, that's when you need to be on guard for the devil. That's when you need to be on guard. Because folks, he will come in, he'll slip in whatever little crack that he sees, and he'll cause a division in his church. He'll cause it to tear up. I can't believe I'm saying this, but as of today, my father-in-law, who just gave up and stepped down at a church there in Adams, Tennessee, if nothing else happens, they will be closing the church door. And that breaks my heart. That crushes me. But you know what? The church was in a healthy state last year. And you know what happened? Satan found a crack to come in. Satan found some kind of way to come in and just tore it all to pieces. We need to be on guard for our adversary, the devil, because as what Peter said, he roams about like a roaring lion seeking whoever he might devour. We need to be on guard. Book of Ezekiel calls us watchmen. There need to be watchmen. I love the members of this church. I want to go on and let you know that. I've not been here long, but I love you all. And I love the deacons here. And I tell you what, it is not just the pastor's or the deacon's job to make sure what comes in behind this pulpit is sound and is good with and aligned with the Word of God. But folks, it is our job as lay members as well. Amen.
It doesn't just rely on the pastor. It doesn't just rely on the deacon. Folks, the church relies on the lay members as well. And we need to be workmen for the Lord. We need to have a burden, Sister Marilyn. We need to have a burden. I'll tell you what. Burdens, they're no fun to carry. You know what Paul said in the book of Romans? If you back up to the 9th chapter there, he said that I have great heaviness and just continual sorrow in my heart. Burdens are not fun to carry, but folks, it is good to have one. It is good to carry one. And I believe, you know, let me tell you this. I'm so glad that in preliminaries we set aside a time to have prayer requests. But I believe today that the church, and I'm not talking just about friendship, I believe the church has spoiled herself in prayer requests so much that instead of carrying the burdens to the Lord, they carry it to the church. And folks, I tell you what, if the Lord has something on your heart, first of all, go to the Lord about it. And then when you just feel like you can't carry it enough, and tell the church about it. And that's in all honest truth, because we don't need to look just to the church and the members for everything. We need to look to the head of the church, and that being Jesus Christ. We need to look to Him for directions. We need to look to Him for what we need to do, for what's going on. I believe that He knows how to cause a church to have a great revival. He knows how to cause a church to have a great service. But folks, we need to be looking to Him. I'm not saying don't make your prayer requests known. Make them known. But first, go to Jesus about it. Lay your trouble at the feet of Jesus. Jesus said, come ye unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, meat is easy and my burden is light. Have you ever heard of the poem known as The Footprints in the Sand? It's one of my favorites. I've actually got a frame of it sitting at our dresser in the house. But the Footprints of the Sand poem, it talks about how this man was strolling along the beach or the sand one day. He was looking back in his life, and there was two sets of footprints, him and the Lord's. And next thing you know, he looked back, and the troubles that had happened in his life, there was only one set. And he asked the Lord, he said, "Well, Lord, why is it that when all this trouble and heartache came, that there's just one set of footprints? You left me high and dry, basically." And the Lord said, "No, I want you to know that during that trouble and time of your life, I was the one carrying you." Folks, we have a friend in Jesus. For those of us who have been saved, let's take our cares to Him. Let's take everything that we have to Him. I believe that He wants us to serve Him, but I also believe that He wants to take care of the things that we have. I want to get personal real fast. You know, we're in this process of trying to move. And it's hard. But what's really hard is traveling miles every single weekend, and I'm just so in a rush to find somewhere because I want to hurry up and get here. Sometimes traveling gets a little old. Sometimes it wears you out. My desire is to be here, and I have to plan everything around our traveling, and it just gets a little old, and I get a little weak. But I'll tell you this. There is something worth doing all that traveling for. There is somebody worth that all that chapel. If one soul just gets saved, folks, I'll tell you what, it is worth it all. It is worth every bit of it. And I'm not trying to tell you that to complain. I'm not. But folks, we need to understand why we're doing the things that we're doing. And that is for the honor and glory of God. I'm so thankful for the brethren and sisters in the past that when the Lord told them to go, they went. They had that desire. We need to have that same desire. We need to have a burden, folks. I know this was a mess and it went everywhere. But I pray that the Lord at least was lifted up for just a few moments of time. We need a burden. And if we want to see, I know last week we made mention of, well, I'd really love for lost souls to be saved this year. If we want to see that happen, we need a burden. I want to be honest with you. I want to see the church blow up like never before. I know the church has said that they want to build another sanctuary. I tell you what, I pray the Lord bless us so much that we have to expand that one. But you know what? We have to have a desire. Proverbs 29, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to have a vision. Not just of where the church is going and where she will be, but of the lost souls that are headed straight to hell. We need a vision. Sister Rachel, got yourself a song. Let us all stand and sing for a few moments of time.
We're going to be in the Moles paperback today. Turn to